rain every few days. A new mystery of the city is that men of that stripe seem to run the risk of cruel tortures and their own careers as deformed beggars, if they do not watch their backs very, very carefully. My route took me near one such. He had one arm he could use to drag himself around. The rest of his limbs were twisted ruins. His bones had been crushed to gravel, but he had been kept alive by a dedicated effort. His face and exposed skin were covered with burn scars. I paused to place one small copper in his bowl. He whimpered and tried to crawl away. He could still see out of one eye. Everywhere you looked, life proceeded in the unique Taglian fashion. Every vehicle in motion had people hanging off it, sponging a ride, unless it was the rickshaw of a rich man, perhaps a banker from Cowlery Street, who could afford outrunners armed with bamboo canes to keep people off. Shopkeepers often sat on top of their tiny counters because there was no other space. Workmen jogged hither and yon with back-breaking loads, violently cursing everyone in their way. The people argued, laughed, waved their arms wildly, simply stepped to the side of the street where no one was lying to defecate when the need came upon them. They bathed in the water in the gutters, indifferent to the fact that a neighbor was urinating in the same stream 15 feet away. Taglios is an all-out, relentless assault upon all the senses, but engages none so much as it does the sense of smell. I hate the rainy season, but without its protracted sluicings out, Taglios would become untenable even for rats. Without the rains, the endemic cholera and smallpox would be far worse than they are, though the rainy times bring outbreaks of malaria and yellow fever. Disease of every sort is common and accepted stoically. And then there are the lepers, whose plight gives new depth of meaning to horror and despair. Never do I find my faith in God so tested as when I consider the lepers. I am as terrified by them as anyone, but I do know enough about some individuals to realize that very few are being visited by a scourge they deserve. Unless the Goonies are right, and they are paying for evils done in previous lives. Up above it all are the kites and crows, the buzzards and vultures. For the eaters of carrion, life is good, till the dead wagons come to collect the fallen. The people come from everywhere, from 500 miles, to find their fortunes, but fortune is an ugly two-faced goddess. When you have lived with her handiwork for half a generation, you hardly notice anymore. You forget that this is not the way life has to be. You cease to marvel at just how much evil man can conjure simply by existing. Chapter 12. The Library. Created by and bequeathed to the city by an earlier mercantile prince, who was much impressed by learning, strikes me as a symbol of knowledge, rearing up to shed its light into the surrounding darkness of ignorance. Some of the city's worst slums wash right up against the wall, enclosing its ground. The beggars are bad around its outer gates. Why is a puzzlement? I have never seen anyone toss them a coin. There is a gateman, but he is not a guard. He lacks